You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Rob.
Oh, that's right. We're doing the joke thing. Sorry, it's been a while.
And Daryl.
It's not a cheap shot. It's completely balanced. Maybe you just need to learn to fight.
Greetings and welcome to episode 155 of The Training Dummies, recorded on February 5th and 6th, 2017. My name is Daryl, and I do need to learn how to fight, so that is why we're doing another self-serving episode tonight. With me tonight, as always, though, is my faithful co-host, Rob. How you doing, Rob?
Great, man. How kind of had a long, short weekend. I don't know. I was out of town all week for work and got home, and my kids reminded me of what it's like to be home with kids. So that's always nice.
All right. As I mentioned, self-serving episode once again. So Hend, the shaman formerly known as my main, was resto and enhancement, but I don't like either of those anymore, so I've decided to try elemental. So we have the, I don't know if you call them, the top elemental.
The premier.
Premier elemental shaman person to talk to us. We have Binkenstein on the show this evening. So let's give a big Training Dummies welcome for him.
Bink, thanks so much for coming on tonight.
That's cool, except it's afternoon.
Oh, well, this afternoon, today, yeah. Tonight.
So that's why I said February 5th and 6th. Got it covered.
That's awesome. Thanks for spending some time with us. We'll spend a little bit of the top of the show here, just getting to know you, and then we'll get into all the elemental shaman stuff. But how, what, when, where did you start playing? And since this may be a bit of a tricky question here, what is your current main?
Well, currently I'm actually playing on a gnome mage because I haven't quite liked how elemental's gone in Legion. There were certainly some improvements with 7.1.5, but I've kind of fallen out of love with the spec and haven't fallen back in to switch. So arcane mage it is. Getting started with it though, day one, you know, first day of vanilla, I rolled a Tauren Hunter and then got sick and tired of the pet stuff. So on day two, I deleted that and started a Tauren Shaman.
Nice.
You know, this is back in the days where your pet had to be fed food to keep it happy.
Oh,
it might be, you know,
super that.
RP and immersion based, but it was so freaking annoying. I didn't like it. And, the other reason why I went a shaman was because my horde guild was, you know, the one I was in, but I'd been going through the beta as a dwarf paladin. So I was thinking, well, I can't be a paladin because horde don't have paladins. So shaman are kind of like the horde version of a paladin. So let's try them and see how it goes.
Nice.
So yeah, I ended up spending the entirety of vanilla healing a raid of Kiwis and Aussies through, I think we got through most of AQ40 and then did like one boss in Naxxramas before the end of the expansion. Well, sorry, before the start of Burning Crusade, but it was fun.
Nice. Yeah, that's, I didn't roll a hunter first, but in beta, I had a Tauren Shaman and Dwarf Paladin, and we ended up picking Horde as what we were going with, so that's what I ended up playing, was the Shaman. But if we had gone Alliance, I'd most likely would have started with the Paladin. What is the origin of the name Binkenstein?
Well, you see, that's a slightly funny story. Back in my college days, which is like 20 years ago, I was running around with the slightly stupid name of Insane Suicidal Lemming, because I thought it was cool. As you do when you're like 17 or so. But when I went to university, I got bored of it and tried to think of something else. So at that time, there was this ice block ad on TV. It was basically like multiple fruit flavors and stacks of ice, and it was twirly. It was, I can't remember the name of it now, but the ad for it was really silly and had this, toy cat dressed up in a superhero outfit that was put on top of a fridge and pushed off the building. And, you know, it was a stupid ad. But the cat was named Binky the Stunt Cat. So I thought, that's cool, I'm going to use that. But later on, I sort of went through a, well, I'm doing a science degree and I'm kind of a little bit mad, so let's make it, you know, something slightly mad scientist-y. So I ended up delving into Wolfenstein and grabbing that end bit, and Binkenstein came about.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Yeah, that's cool. I think that's one of the better origin stories I've heard in a while. That's awesome.
Although, sometime after this, I find out that, A, it's a slightly rare surname in Germany, and also there's a cartoon bunny named Binkenstein as well. So that's just pure coincidence.
I guess you didn't get a cease and desist letter then for the name. But what would you say is your most fond memory in or because of gaming?
That's kind of a hard one. I'd probably say one of the cool ones was being the second in the guild to get the Dragon Wrath Legendary and Cataclysm. It was quite fun and, you know, going through this complicated quest thing and doing all the stuff. I'm like, I'm an elemental shaman. This is the first time I get to have a legendary, you know, item. And it's cool. And then by the end of Dragon Soul, all the casters had one and it was kind of unbalanced.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty with the mastery back then, huh?
Yes. And one thing that I really, 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 really wish they would do is make the mount transform from the item an actual mount that you can use without the staff.
Oh, right, because you have to be wearing it, huh?
Yes, and it was one of my favorite mount forms because, you know, even after Cataclysm, I'd still put on the staff and fly around as Taragosa, and it was cool. But if I want to do that now, I either have to go onto the old shaman or redo the entire quest chain on my mage. And that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's a little rough, I think. What would you say is your favorite Blizzard title?
I'd probably have to say World of Warcraft, just because I play it a lot more than any of the others. I mean, I've gone through multiple seasons in Diablo 3, and I used to play Diablo 2 quite a lot as well. In fact, whenever I listen to a certain Matchbox 20 album, I always get flashbacks to like one of those zones in Act 2 in Diablo 2, because at university, I was playing lots of Diablo 2, and I was listening to this particular Matchbox 20 album on repeat. So, yeah. But I play all the others, just not regularly. It's like Hearthstone feels like it's got too much of a investment to actually get into it. Overwatch is cool, but I'm not that much fond of FPS games all the time. And Heroes of the Storm, I play it occasionally, but Hero League and the Silver bracket is kind of a little bit unfriendly with some of the players you have.
Yeah, any game where you get into a little more PvP stuff, you know, people don't exactly put their best foot forward. What would you say is your favorite raid boss of all time?
Raid boss? Ooh, that's a hard one. I kind of like Ulduar, like most people do, because that had some cool stuff. But I can't really think of any other particular ones that I really, really like. Mostly because I think stuff's cool at the time, and then when it ceases to become current content, it's like, okay, I just forget about it and it gets deleted out of my memory, and then I go back, you know, years later to farm up some transmog and I'm like, oh, I forgot about this mechanic that just killed me, even though you're like 20, 30 levels past what you needed to be the original time.
This next question, I think it might be time to update it, but what is your favorite thing about Legion so far?
World quests are actually quite cool. It's a little bit repetitive after a while, but it still feels like a good way to make the world content reusable on a regular basis.
All right.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, you get frustrated with world quests because at this point they've just become dailies again, but like, yeah, I actually really like the format of them.
Well, you see, there wasn't much of a problem with dailies in the first place. Like the Mists dailies, they were good. They gave you content to do on a regular basis that you would go out and do. There would be an end goal where past that, there wasn't much point to do them, but it was still worth doing at least some of them anyway.
Rob, do you have any bonus questions?
No, I have been very actively playing my Elemental Shaman lately, and I am very excited to get in here and see where I'm missing the mark at. So.
Me too.
This is super awesome guest Greyhound from Super Toxic Place Tank Chat and Super Awesome Place Wowhead, and you're listening to the Training Dummies. It's Rob and Daryl.
If you have any questions or comments or want to find out what we're doing, we are active on Twitter. You can follow the show is at Training Dummies. I am at Rob Copeland, and Daryl is at Hind_TTD. I wonder how long you're going to keep that Twitter tag.
Why? Oh. Yeah, maybe I should change it to Daryl_TTD or something.
Might as well, huh?
Yeah, then it's really...
Tonight, well, it's all about Elemental Shaman. I realize you're not playing one at the moment, but you are highly regarded as the premier resource for Elemental Shaman, and I think that even when you're not playing it, you still keep up pretty well with the guides and kind of the better information here. So, Bink, do you want to start off maybe talking about stats? We can go over that a little bit, and then we'll just work our way down through the talents and resources and all that stuff.
Well, just before I start that, I will give you a little flashback to Burning Crusade, because when I started doing elemental work, I was actually still playing as Resto. So up until like late tier five, I was still playing as Resto, but on the side, I was doing all this elemental stuff. And even during the few breaks I've had from the game, I have still been doing elemental stuff. So it's not so much a thing that you do when you're playing a spec. It's a, you know a lot about it, so you keep doing it, and you don't necessarily need to keep playing it on a regular basis.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there was a lot of changes in Legion, but what I'm noticing after you know, getting back into playing LE a little more is that even though there was a lot of changes, it's still very similar as it was in previous expansions.
Yeah, most of the changes ended up being around Maelstrom and just basically substituting that in for Lightning Shield charges. But anyway, stats. So one thing that a lot of people ask is how much of Crit, Haste, Mastery, and Versatility do I need to have for a specific gear level? There's not really a specific target to aim for. There's, of course, your absolute hard caps, which for Haste is something like 150 to 200%. I can't remember exactly, but that was since they changed the GCT to be 0.75 seconds. The only number that you need to worry about is Mastery, which has a soft cap of 86.5% if you are using Elemental Blast. It's because when you use Elemental Blast, you get a stat buff, and if you get the Mastery buff, that will put you up to 100%. So if you have more Mastery than 86.5, don't worry about it. You'll still use it most of the time, but there will be occasions where you've got an excess and it doesn't apply. But in terms of priority, you want Mastery followed by Crit, then Haste, then Versatility. But you don't really want to neglect Haste and Versatility either. And there have been a few people, at least on Earthshrine anyway, the Discord server, talking about like targets of 30% Crit and then you aim for Haste and various things like that. That comes out of people following their stat weights and going, I'm going to stack as much Crit as possible, getting to 30 to 33% and then going, hey, Haste is now worth more than Crit. So obviously I need to get up to 30, 35% Crit and then stack Haste. Now that's not necessarily accurate because as you increase any stat, it will increase the value of your other stats. So you want to have a balance between them rather than just focusing mm-hmm. specifically on one to the exclusion of the other. And that's kind of the subject of one of my blog posts, which I've referenced across at least three or four Discord servers now. And on Earthshrine, I actually have it as a bot command to bring up a link to this post, because people ask this question so often, and technically speaking, they're using stats, the stat weights, the right way, but they're just using it wrong. So rather than, it's like you're taking a drive somewhere and you're relying on a sat nav to get you there. It says turn left at some point. So you turn left from there to get to your destination. You don't go, oh, I have to turn left now, so I'm going right back to the start, and then I'll turn left and keep turning left because that's what the sat navs tell me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with sat weights. It's not, this is how you need to gear going back to the start and re-evaluating all of your items. It's based on your current gear, this is how much DPS you will get from adding a bit more of each of these stats. So you could use it to rejig your gems and enchantments, but in terms of rejigging your gear, it's not really that effective. Sure, it'll help you with rings and necks because they don't have any primary stats, but 99 times out of 100, that item with int on it that is a higher eye level will be an upgrade. And that's about it.
All right.
And that's mainly because, you know, with reforging being gone, we're kind of just left with whatever we have, would you say?
Well, yes. I mean, reforging still being in the game would be nice and would make a lot of gear less bad in terms of how players view it. But it became a very much a, you use an add-on, it tells you how to reforge, and you just one click to reforge all of your gear. There's not really much player interaction with it. And if the developers can balance the stats well enough, you shouldn't need it.
That's a fair point.
But of course, it never quite happens that way, but best intentions.
Yes. Now, this is the talents. I want to go through those. This is actually my favorite part of any class guide that we do. And what we usually like to do is go through them level by level. So, you know, tier 15, this one's good. This is good in this situation. This is a trap talent, you know, and just kind of work through them that way. Now I see here in the notes you have, it depends on, you build your talents around the level 100 talent you have. But do you want to go through them with that in mind and start at level 15?
Well, I try to, and especially in my guides, try to explain the reasons behind using each one.
Mm-hmm.
So that hopefully if you've read everything and taken it all on board, you can make those same deductions that I've made about the talent combinations that you want to use. Or you cheat and put together some simulation stuff that goes through and says these talents are the best ones to use. But in terms of like level 15, Path of Flame was bad, but since it got upgraded to 10% extra damage for Lava Burst, is pretty ideal for anything that you use a lot of Lava Burst with. Obviously, Ascendance. Totem Mastery, on the other hand, has some bonuses for Maelstrom spending, a little bit extra haste, and increases your chance to overload with Lightning Bolt. Yes, I just had to recheck it because I haven't used the thing in ages. Because even though it's totems, and totems are cool, and they're part of the core fantasy of Shaman, totems have always been one of the things that I've actually disliked in terms of regular maintenance stuff. Searing Totem, I hated it. You need to have it down all the time, unless you were using your Fire Elemental. But it was like this stupid little thing that you just had to put down to get some extra damage out, and you'd forget about it for a minute. And it was just really, really annoying. So that's why I've tried to avoid Totem Mastery whenever I've played any Legion on my Shaman. But for non-Lava Burst specs, it's usually the better option.
Okay.
Oh, I did not know that, but I've taken Ascendance, so I guess it's fine.
Yeah. Earth and Rage is the odd man out now. It's good for movement stuff, but because it doesn't have much interaction with anything else, it's kind of a little bit behind, especially since it doesn't interact with I forget if it interacts with Mastery. I don't think it does. So because in the current build, mastery is pretty strong. Anything that doesn't interact with mastery is conversely very weak.
Right.
And the other thing to note about Path of Flame is with its flame shock spreading behavior. If you've got a stack of mobs that you're fighting, you spread flame shock, and then you suddenly get lots more lava bursts because every single flame shock can proc lava surge independently.
Okay.
This is one of these things that is in the game. I don't think it should be, because every other situation where there's been a multi-dot situation to get multiple procs, it's been nerfed pretty quickly. Like that multi-head boss in Throne of Thunder, I can't remember the name, but Warlocks, Affliction Warlocks, would dot up all three heads and get additional procs from their dots. So I think Warlocks and Moonkin are two specs that had multi-dot procs that have been specifically changed to be on your most recent current dot.
Oh, okay.
Elemental, because Flame Shock was previously on a cooldown and you didn't really have much in the way of spreading shenanigans, hasn't been affected by that. But now Path of Flame exists, you can, but it hasn't been changed yet. Probably because it's not really that abusable in most cases.
I can't say I'm seeing a whole lot of elemental shaman that are just like destroying everything. I mean, we have a guy on our team that he does really well, but you know, I don't see him in a dominating kind of position.
It's pretty fun on Ironbark in Darkheart Thicket, because all of those little roots that spawn can have flame shock spread to them. And I have actually basically spent most of the fight spamming Lava Burst because it just kept procking like mad.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
There is one fun little thing with Path of Flame, which has yet to be fixed. But if you put Flame Shock onto one target and then onto a second target and then keep alternating the target that you're firing Lava Burst at, it pandemic refreshes the other target, so you can actually increase your dot duration. In Nighthold yesterday on Botanist, I ended up having a 7-minute flame shock on one of the versions of the boss.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it pandemics off the duration of the current dot that it's being moved onto, rather than to the maximum of 30 seconds or 35 seconds, whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's not really abusable in any great extent because you have to have multiple targets that will be alive long enough to do this sort of thing. And if you screw it up, then you're back to a 19-second flame shock. But it's one of those little mechanics that if you can,
that's amazing.
Slightly fun, but I expect it'll get fixed at some point.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, you're not getting a benefit. You're not hitting harder the longer that it ticks, right?
No, it's just the same damage, but with a really long duration.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see them nerfing it, but like I said, I don't think right now LE Shaman are like you said, it's not really that abusable, I guess.
Yeah, all it's going to do is save you a GCD maybe once every minute. Maybe half a minute. But it's not really that abusable to any great extent.
All right, so how about level 30?
Level 30 is fun. Gust of Wind is the most awesome talent ever.
Yes, it is.
If you don't have Blink. And actually, it's kind of more useful than Blink in certain situations, like you jump off a cliff, if you gust of wind, just before you hit the ground, you will take no falling damage.
Really?
Yeah, I did this.
Yep. Oh, I need to try this.
10 minutes ago, yep.
Oh, sweet.
Yes, it's quite awesome for that. It does have its downsides, like if you're trying to go uphill, you basically take a step and then stop.
Okay.
But downhill or falling from great heights or just getting out of the way of stuff, it's quite useful. But as I found out on Alessandre yesterday, you can't gust over, you know, incoming damage waves. like you can with Blink, because you actually exist in the space between where you start and where you finish.
Yeah.
So I ended up dying quite early on that fight. I was like, whoops.
Yeah, I wish I had known that falling damage, because it might have happened twice in the last 3 days that I got a new cloak and I'm an engineer and my goblin glider didn't activate because I put on a new cloak but not the tinker. So it's possible it happened twice in the last 3 days that I fell to my death trying to activate a goblin glider that wasn't there. So
see, I really like combinations like that, and the best one I've got is actually on my mage. Slow fall combined with the Emerald Winds toy, you can fly pretty much across Stormheim without touching the ground.
Oh, nice.
And all that toy is just basically a 2 minute case of gust of wind.
It's going to get nerfed.
Well, it's going to be pointless in 7.2 when you can fly everywhere.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's still one of those fun things that I do to, you know, get places. Going back to the level 30 talents, Windrush Totem is one of these things that either it's a mandatory talent pick for mythic raiding and stuff because it's a raid-wide movement speed boost, which is quite good because druids don't universally have access to their speed roar, whatever the hell it's called.
Stampeding roar.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah. But rather than being just a group buff, it's a you place it at some place between where you are and where you're going, and it makes you run faster going through. I'm really not fond of trying to pick between a raid movement ability on a long cooldown and a self-movement ability on a short cooldown, because raid movement, sure, it's good and useful in certain situations, but in other situations, being able to press a button and get out of the bad stuff really quickly is also quite useful. Mm-hmm. And then we have Ancestral Guidance, which has been nerfed so much, it's just basically pointless to take. I'm actually still surprised it's a talent available to DPS specs.
Oh, okay.
Like back in Siege of Orgrimmar, we and do this in tandem with the Shadow Priest, would both pop our healing abilities at the same time to basically substitute in for a healer cooldown. And it was good. It was useful. I mean, I could press Ascendance and hit Ancestral Guidance, and I'd heal a bunch of people for a short period of time. It wasn't amazing healing, but it's just enough that when you combine it with someone else doing the same thing, that it's worthwhile. Now, it's just basically not even worth the GCD to press to actually do that healing.
Right. Oh, I remember we had an enhancement shaman with us in Siege at the time who seemed like she could single-handedly heal the raid back up with Ancestral Guidance.
Yeah, it had some fun stuff, like it would proc off Earthquake, so if you're doing mass AoE, you'd start that up and it would heal everyone for really small amounts, but there would be a lot of heals. Mm-hmm. But as it stands at the moment, it's not really something worth using, and I would be quite happy if that just went away and was replaced with some sort of talent to improve Ghost Wolf.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would be nice.
Mind you, of course, I'd be happy if Windrush Totem also was not a talent, because having raid utility cooldowns as talents mean that if you're doing raiding that requires that sort of stuff, you don't have the option of using one of the other talents. You've got to use this raid utility thing, which I think is kind of defeating the purpose of having talents in the first place.
Yeah, when it becomes required at that point, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the level 45 talents are pretty good in the niche that they fill, but also being diverse in how they apply things. So you've got your Lightning Surge Totem, which is basically Capacitor Totem, but renamed. Earth Grab, which was a talent again. And then Voodoo Totem, which is just basically a small AoE hex. And they're all kind of useful in different situations. Although Voodoo Totem is not quite as useful in PvP, because when you get hexed as a player, you can still move about. So if you move out of the radius of your Voodoo Totem, you're no longer hexed. So it's kind of a little bit weird.
Okay. I didn't know you could move when you're hexed, actually. Interesting.
Just goes to show how many people actually, you know, hex is elemental when you're in PvP. In fact, elemental's been famously weak in PvP for quite a while, mm-hmm. partially because of the crit damage bonus, because we get 250% crits. But in PvP, it's 175 versus the 200 and 150 for pretty much everyone else. So a lot of your damage is taken out by that crit reduction that they end up kind of putting back in through bonuses to certain spells in PvP situations. But it's just a little bit, you take away with one hand, you give with the other, and it kind of doesn't work out ideally.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a bit better now with Legion, but in past expansions like Warlords, if you're an elemental shaman PvPing, you were just doing it to grind up some currency or something. You weren't doing it seriously.
Right.
Unless you're like super hardcore and could do that sort of stuff.
Not me.
Neither. I've never been much of a PvP player.
No.
So level 60. Now, this is where we get into the talent rearrange from 7.1.5. So we've got Aftershock, Ancestral Swiftness, and Elemental Mastery. So it's a refund on Maelstrom spent, Passive Haste, or your little haste cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd think that Elemental Mastery would be the one to go to primarily. It's not actually as great as Ancestral Swiftness for a couple of reasons. And this is mostly to do with the constant haste that you're gaining and increasing the rate at which you gain Maelstrom and gain Lava Surge procs. Because having a lot of haste in a short duration, like Bloodlust or Heroism, mm-hmm. is fine for burst DPS, but that just 6% extra haste does actually make a lot of difference over the course of time. And because Maelstrom's not exactly a major part of your damage repartee, Aftershock is kind of a little bit on the low side.
Okay.
See, you only have, what, 2 spinners for Maelstrom right now?
There's actually 4. So you've got Earthshock, which takes everything and resets it to 0. Mm-hmm. You've got Flameshock, which will take up to 20 to increase the duration of your Flameshock dot. Frostshock will take up to 20 to increase the damage by 100%, but it's a low damage to start off with, so it's not exactly exciting. But it also increases the duration of the slow as well. And then that all feeds into the Ice Fury talent at level 100. The other Maelstrom spender is Earthquake,
mm-hmm.
and that's 50 per cast, but you can have multiple Earthquakes down at the same time. So before they reduced the duration and increased the damage, so it's basically about the same per cast, it's just in a shorter time frame, you could actually get like 3 or 4 Earthquakes down at the same time.
Nice.
Of course, that was back when it was still a totem, and you'd get those stupid pathing errors.
Oh, lovely.
So yeah, level 60 is generally Ancestral Swiftness, unless you have a really, really specific burst window that you need to burst stuff mm-hmm. down in, and then you take Elemental Mastery. Aftershock could be used in higher mobility stuff, so you've got more Earthshocks going out,
but oh, okay.
It's not really as exciting.
Right.
Level 75.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
level Elemental 75. Fusion, Primal Elementalist, and Elemental Blast. So Fusion is an increase to trigger Lava Surge. Primal Elementalist basically gives you better fire elementals. And Elemental Blast is that red, white, and blue thing that goes off and does lots of damage. Elemental Blast was always one of my favorite spells that I would like to have used more during Warlords. I particularly liked it back in Mists of Pandaria. But with the change to Echo of the Elements, you basically had to use that over anything else. And previously, those two talents were in the same row. As it stands at the moment, unless having an extra ability in the rotation is something that makes it a little bit more complicated for you, you want Elemental Blast over the other two. Just really? Because it's big, It's big damage. It gives you a stat buff, in fact, two stat buffs if it overloads, and it doesn't generate any maelstrom, so you don't have to worry about if you're going to cap or not by casting it.
In the last expansion, Warlords, this talent wrecked Resto for me because it made it a required talent because it was so powerful for restoration that you had to use a DPS ability pretty much every 12 seconds that I started to really dislike healing on my Shaman. And it's all because of this ability, Elemental Blast.
That would be because of that spirit buff.
Well, yeah,
that they put onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as soon as anything grants spirit in a situation where spirit is limited, which is what they started doing in Warlords, it's kind of necessary because you need more mana. Whereas previously, you would just stack spirit up to a point where you didn't run out of mana at all, and then you might have used other stats.
Yeah. So when I first picked my talents on my Shaman here in Legion a few weeks ago when I went from started Elemental, I avoided Elemental Blast like the plague because of such negative feelings I have for it because of the last expansion and what it did for restoration to me. You know, how it made me feel about what was my main. I've been healing on my Shaman since vanilla, and it, because of that ability, it just made me not want to do it anymore. So I'm using it now because that other Elemental Shaman on a raid team said it's the one you really want to use. So I'm trying to use it now, but it leaves a nasty taste in my mouth. It really does.
Yeah, I can kind of understand that. And
well, it's one of the coolest looking abilities, so you got that.
Yes, it is quite cool.
Yeah, it does. Which look is cool. Kind of, I'll give it that.
It's slightly unusual in that most of the elemental abilities don't look that exciting. I mean, previously Lightning Bolt was a little bolt that just flew across, and now it's a, you know, straight line that doesn't really have any travel time. But Elemental Blast's always been the coolest ability to look at. And if they manage to make it look even cooler when they go through and redo the spell animations, I will be quite impressed. But as for the other two talents, Primal Elementalist is basically my, if you're getting started with a spec and want some passive stuff that gives you damage, take that one because it's good and solid. Elemental Fusion is more of a, if you've got lots of movement going on or maybe you're doing some multi-dotting stuff, that could kind of work, but it's not really too much to worry about just because it's 5%. Had they kept that 10% bonus from the PTR, that may have made a bit of a difference, but 5% is nothing to write home about.
All right. Level 90.
And level, yes. Now, this is another one of those talent rows where you've pretty much got one option that you really need to take because while it gives you additional damage, it's a major quality of life improvement. And that is, of course, Echo of the Elements. Mostly this is because it means worrying about Lava Burst is slightly less stressful. You don't have to go and mash the button as soon as you see a Lava Surge proc happen. If you've not let it stack at two charges too often, you will get a good 30 to 40% more casts of Lava Burst out just because of that. There's some complicated math around actually predicting the number of charges, the number of casts that you'll get from this, but it's easily the best talent to have in the tree.
Okay.
Storm Elemental just replaces your Fire Elemental with something else. It looks cool. It does damage. It does a little bit of AoE healing, and that's all it is. Liquid Magma Totem is one of these things that if it wasn't in the same row as Echo of the Elements, you would use it on a regular basis for Mythic Plus.
Mm-hmm.
But since you have to choose between that and Echo, it's kind of one of those situational things. And on that subject, it's one of the things that I dislike about the elemental talent tree is that there are lots of abilities that have different functions on the same row. Mm-hmm. So it's not a case of, okay, I'm going to increase my AoE damage by choosing one of these three options. It's, I'm going to increase my single target sustain damage or my burst damage or increase my AoE, which is, again, one of those situations where you've got to understand how everything goes together and understand what's required of the fight. And 9 times out of 10, your single target damage is going to be the thing that you want to improve most of all. So anything that's AoE is pretty much discounted, except for certain circumstances like Hellfire Assault, where the entire thing is AoE.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the level 100 talents, which, again, are kind of different ways of doing a similar sort of thing. So Ascendance is your burst damage cooldown. Lightning Rod is your sustained damage with some cleave potential in there. And Ice Fury is a mid-range cooldown, but it works well with frequent movement. And this is one of those common questions as well, because people ask, do I use Ascendance? Do I use Lightning Rod? Do I use Ice Fury? Now, Ice Fury is slightly higher in terms of its simulation damage, but has a higher skill requirement than Ascendance.
Okay.
So if you're moving a lot and you can time when you're moving with your Ice Fury uses so that you fill in that movement time with 3 or 4 Frost Shocks dealing 100% bonus damage from 20 Maelstrom and then 400% damage from the Ice Fury buff, that's a good solid amount of damage while you're moving. The problem is that you need to be thinking ahead so that you know you use it before you start moving. Because if you need to use it and Ice Fury hasn't been used yet, you either have to stop, potentially stand in the bad stuff, or you don't use it and it ends up being wasted.
Right, okay.
So when people ask about Ascendance versus Ice Fury because they're the two highest talents, I generally recommend Ascendance because it has a lower skill requirement, because basically you press it and then you're just mashing your lava burst button except for the occasional elemental blast.
Mm-hmm.
What people will ask comparing the two is they can't use Ascendance when they because they have to move a lot. Now, it's the inverse of the problem with Ice Fury. So Ice Fury, you want to know when you're going to move so you can move it before you move. Ascendance, you want to know when you're going to move so you can move it, use it when you're not moving. And if anyone who's saying that they can't use Ascendance because they have to keep moving around a lot, they really need to learn the timing of the fights so that mm-hmm. they can stay still and use it. Because as a mage, there are lots of times when I'm standing still and using my big cooldowns, and I can keep standing still and using them. Sometimes I will mess up the timing and have to move while I'm using them, but that's okay because it's just a small extra bit of extra damage that's not out. And in fact, the Gul'dan fight, the first two phases, you've got your DPS ability, your extra action button to use, mm-hmm. and for that, you need to know when you're not going to be taking fire damage so you can use it and get the full extent of the cooldown. So it's really all just about making sure you know when stuff's going to happen so you can either use something before it or use something after it.
Right. Okay.
I know there was a lot of people asking about that level 100 row, and I think that kind of covered it pretty well.
Yeah. And Ice Fury being an extra cast on a 30-second cooldown and then using another ability that normally in PvE you wouldn't even touch means that the number of buttons that you've got in your rotation goes up by more than anything else. In fact, a normal single target is Flame Shock, Earth Shock, Lava Burst, Lightning Bolt, just your 4 core abilities. You can add 3 extra just by adding Elemental Blast and Ice Fury, which sounds not like much, but when you've got multiple short duration cooldowns all coming up at the same time, you need to know instantly which one needs to be pressed first. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like that Dark Moon Fear game with Hogger, Whack-a-Mole. Yes, sorry, I forgot what it was called. it's kind of like whack-a-mole, you know. You're going, right, this one's up next, so I've got to hit that, and then that one, and that one, and that one. So with a caster, it's a little bit more complicated than if it was like a melee spec. Because melee, you're just hitting an ability, it triggers automatically. For casters, you're hitting a button, then you're casting it, and then you go on to the next one. So stuff can change in the middle of when you're casting to change the spell that you've queued up next. So whack-a-mole is a bit more problematic for casters.
All right. Well, I think that covers the talents then, hey?
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. What about resource management? Now, I know it's Maelstrom. What do we need to know about managing that resource?
There's two magic numbers for it. There's 92, which is outside of Ascendance, if you have 92 Maelstrom or more, use Earthshock first. If you've got more than 86 Maelstrom and are not casting Lava Burst, then use Earthshock again. So it's just basically making sure that you're not capping out your Maelstrom, but also not using Earthshock too often. Because unlike most other resource spenders, it's not a fixed amount. It consumes everything you've got. So the fewer casts, the better, but the less resource wasted, the better as well.
Right.
The only exception to that is that during Ascendance, if you've done it correctly and basically emptied out your Maelstrom before you start using it, you don't bother casting Earthshock during Ascendance, because the damage gained from the 60 odd Maelstrom that you waste by being at your 100 cap is less than the damage you get by spending an extra GCD casting Lava Burst in that situation. And I will be honest and say I would really prefer it that Ascendance had some sort of Maelstrom spender in it, because it's already changing Chain Lightning to Lava Beam, and during Beta there was kind of like a Lava Shock, which did both large amounts of damage and put up the Flame Shock dot, but that got removed. And I think it would have been a good thing to leave in, just because it means people continue the same resource usage rather than having to remember this exception.
Okay.
But aside from that, you basically just use 20 whenever Flame Shock needs to be refreshed. If you can refresh Flame Shock with Elemental Focus up at the same time, that would be good, but it's not really a necessary thing to worry about.
Okay. So let's get into the... I know you've mentioned it a couple times, but the single target priority system is what?
It's... Elemental has been, for quite a while, a priority-based system rather than the typical rotation from early days.
Right.
Although most specs now are a priority system anyway these days. But the important thing to remember is you need to keep Flame Shock up. If you use Lava Burst without Flame Shock up, you lose that auto-crit damage. And I've worked out that it's about 5 or 6 seconds that you can delay Lava Burst in order to get Flame Shock up to actually make it a even exchange.
Oh, okay.
So for all those people out there who keep insisting that a pre-cast of Lava Burst for when you're starting a fight as your opener, that's just basically complete crap, and you shouldn't be listening to them.
Okay.
Outside of that, you need to remember those two numbers about Earthshock use. Okay. Use Lava Burst whenever it's up, and then fill in space with Lightning Bolt. Stormkeeper, the artifact ability, is something that you want to use when you've got either you're out of Lava Burst charges or you're just about to get out of Lava Burst charges, because it's one of those things where rather than being something that you want to hit as soon as it's off cooldown, it does big amounts of damage, it gets used and then the damage is offset into your next three Lightning Bolts. So you need to be able to make sure that you're using three Lightning Bolts in the next 15 seconds. Otherwise, you're wasting damage from Stormkeeper.
Right, okay.
And one of those other things to note is that you don't want to delay Stormkeeper to stack it with Power of the Maelstrom, which is a artifact proc, which gives you a additional overload. I think, sorry, it makes the overload happen twice, and it's automatic for the next three lightning bolt casts. So one thing that people often get confused about is going, well, if I save this cooldown here for use with this other thing here, that will give me bigger numbers. And while that's true, the delaying of said cooldown is lowering the value of that cooldown. So unless your interaction is a big meaty one, you don't want to delay your cooldowns.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The last example of that was the legendary ring for Hellfire Citadel. It was actually roughly even as to whether you save descendants to sync it up with your ring or just use it on cooldown. Of course, that was before they actually shaved an entire minute off the Ascendant's cooldown to have it as a 2-minute CD, and that did virtually nothing to change the overall output for Elemental Shaman. So that was a impressive change that didn't really do anything.
Okay. We were talking a little bit before we started recording about how it feels awkward that Stormkeeper, the artifact ability, doesn't exactly complement the playstyle of the spec. So the benefit of Stormkeeper is not enough to live up to Lava Burst then. So is that why it falls down lower in the priority chain?
It's not in terms of damage it does. It's in terms of like when you're doing things. So Lava Burst you want to use as soon as it's off cooldown because it's big damage and delaying the ability means less DPS overall. Mm-hmm. Stormkeeper, because you'll be doing a lot of other things than casting Lightning Bolt as you're going through your rotation, you want to make sure that it's at a point where you use it and will cast at least three Lightning Bolts in the next 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because wasting one of those charges means losing some of the damage from Stormkeeper. So that's why you delay it. There's a lot of these little unintuitive things in the elemental rotation where you mm-hmm. think, I should do this because it'll give me bigger numbers. But because you're doing that, you're actually lowering your overall DPS in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Like in early beta, the elemental focus bonus, that's the proc you get from a critical strike, giving you 10% extra damage to the next cast. That was previously 20%, and the said bonus would increase it to 30 or 40%. I can't quite remember exactly. But it was a point where that was enough to make using it with Echo of the Elements worth alternating between Lava Burst and Lightning Bolt to try and play around with your elemental focus charges, kind of like a Druid balance almost playstyle with making sure you use your solar and lunar empowerments going backwards and forward. But basically not long after I pointed out the fact that this could be a playstyle that people used, they dropped it and it went down to 10%, and it was basically pointless to try and do it.
Okay.
And even during the 7.1.5 PGR, when Echo had three charges, there would be the potential to try and do this focus weaving stuff there as well. But with two charges, you can't really afford to save a charge for use later. It's got to be spent as soon as you get it. So it's one of those things where there is the potential for extra depth in the rotation, but the developers chose to not go that way. So instead, we've got lots of different little things that you just have to play whack-a-mole with. And the complicating factor on top of all this with Ice Fury is that you've got some extra Maelstrom thresholds to worry about. So you never want to use Ice Fury if you've got more than 76 Maelstrom, because that'll cap you out. You want to make sure that you're using Frost Shock at either when you're moving or to use up some Maelstrom.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's got to be used within 15 seconds, otherwise you lose those buff charges.
Right.
And then to throw another spanner in the works, Elemental Blast which used to be something that you'd have to delay after everything else, is now something that you basically go for as soon as it's off cooldown, because it's such a large damage amount. And again, with those three echo charges on the PTR, you could actually delay using Lava Burst until after Elemental Blast, and then pop off a couple of Lava Bursts with those extra stats. So again, it's some depth that could have been added, but because of the sheer number of Lava Burst casts that were being put out, they couldn't go down that route.
Okay. So Elemental Blast...
I really get the feeling... Oh, sorry.
I'm just... at the beginning of a fight, do we start with Elemental Blast or still Frost or Flame Shock?
Okay. Elemental Blast will give you stat boost, but you'd actually want to start off with casting Stormkeeper just before you do your initial Lightning Bolt cast when you get down to 2 seconds on the pull counter. Although, strictly speaking, you want to go Fire Elemental, Stormkeeper, Lightning Bolt. To use those three Stormkeeper charges, hit Flame Shock when you've got enough Maelstrom so that it lasts through Ascendance, should you be using it, and then you go into using Elemental Blast, Lava Burst, and then Ascendance.
So your opener is not the same as your typical, as the rest priority. Of the rotation.
Openers are basically working through things that you can do without a target, and then something that you can do with cast time on your target without having other stuff set up. And because Lava Burst requires a bunch of set up stuff, you need to wait for it. Elemental Blast could potentially be used, but as I said, if you're using Ascendance, you want to get to Ascendance as quickly as possible and have the Elemental Blast buff up while you're using it.
And then you want to have as much Flame Shock as you can, so it doesn't run out while you're spamming Lava Burst.
Correct.
It makes sense. The more I hear this, it seems like this spec is pretty easy to pick up, but it's also very easy to play poorly, I guess.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I keep saying that Ascendance is a good talent to pick, even though it's like 2% less damage than Ice Fury in Sims, because players being able to play the same way as a robot using the APL is not necessarily going to happen.
Right.
Yeah, Ascendance seems a little more forgiving. Like, I mean, whether or not the stars lined up or not, you know, you pop Ascendance and then you just keep spamming Lava Bursts until it runs out.
Yep.
And it's like you don't have to worry really about, you know, what buffs are up and making sure that's up and making sure, you know, that the sun is shining from the west and the wind is blowing from the east.
Yeah, and Elemental doesn't have that much in the way of interacting cooldowns to use. So if you've got Elemental Mastery, you'd want to use it on cooldown, but occasionally sync it up with Ascendance. But Ascendance and Fire Elemental don't really have that much interaction aside from if you use Fire Elemental just before you use Ascendance, you get a lot more of the cooldown reduced because of the Elementalist artifact trait, which drops a second or two off the cooldown for every Lava Burst you cast.
Okay.
So how do
that's another reason why Ascendance and Echo are so useful.
So how do we modify this for AoE damage then? Is it just simply putting Chain Lightning instead of Lightning Bolt?
To start with, yes. So at 2 to 3 targets, you're just basically replacing Lightning Bolt with Chain Lightning. You can multi-dot, although if you've got Path of Flame, you probably don't need to, unless your targets are far apart.
Right,
but then you won't be using Chain Lightning anyway. When you get to 4 or more, you're basically just switching straight to Chain Lightning and Earthquake.
Right.
So four targets is the threshold then
for Earthquake.
Yep.
Okay.
If you've got a priority target, then you can do like Flame Shock and Lava Burst on that priority target and then Chain Lightning the Earthquake on the rest of it. But if everything needs to die at relatively the same pace, you don't worry about Lava Burst.
Okay.
Would you ever use Ascendance on your Chain Lightning? I guess it would be the Lava Beam at that point, or is that kind of a no-no?
You could.
I think it looks amazing, but from what I've read, you generally want to save Ascendance just for lava burst spam rather than the AoE spam.
Well, you'd still need to do some sort of Maelstrom spending, which means placing Earthquake, and the difference between normal AoE damage and Ascendance AoE damage is less than the difference between normal single target and Ascendance single target. So Ascendance tends to be a single target cooldown unless really specific stuff happens, and then you can use it for AoE.
So you're getting less bang for your buck, but I feel like LE shamans do fine with AoE. Like if you have the magma totem and an earthquake, and then your chain lightning, you know, you're hitting pretty hard everything that's in the area.
Yeah, and especially with static overload, which is another one of those artifact traits. So that's a 10% chance to get a completely free chain lightning on multiple targets. And with mastery, you've got a 1/5 of your mastery percentage chance to proc on each target hit. So you can potentially get 5 chain lightning overloads on one chain lightning cast.
Wow.
It's a very small chance to happen, but that's how it worked. Back in the days of glyphs, where there was the one to increase the chain lightning target count from 3 to 5, mm-hmm. it would be 1/3 per cast, per hit. But with those extra 2 targets, it would be 5 chances for a 5 chances for 1/3 of your mastery percentage. So that was usually a good way to go there.
So I guess that's for the main thing to know then. It's just if you're looking at the 4 target threshold to use your chain lightning, and is it the same for earthquake? You want to have at least 4 targets.
3 or 4, yeah. With the legendary shoulders, it can be used single target, obviously, but it's primarily about getting 4 targets or more and making sure they're going to stay in the same place, which is a bit easier now that the animation for it is in-game and not a horrible pancake that it used to be.
Yeah.
All right, what are our major cooldowns that we're going to be looking at then?
First one, of course, is Fire Elemental. It's your baseline cooldown. It gets used every 5 minutes by default, but with a artifact trait, you can decrease it to roughly about 3 minutes, give or take. That's because Lava Burst will decrease the cooldown by 1 to 2 seconds. Can't remember which one exactly. And that's just basically a use it when you're going to have a minute of DPSable time, and you don't really interact with it much.
Mm-hmm.
Stormkeeper, as we talked about before, you use it lower down in the rotation, so you make sure that you use all 3 casts. You can use it just before you go and do some movement because it makes all 3 casts instant.
Right.
And it can also be used with Chain Lightning if you've got some extra burst damage for AoE that needs to happen. Then you get into all your talented stuff like Elemental Mastery, Elemental Blast, Ice Fury, Ascendance. I think we've covered most of those in the talent section. So.
All right. Well, what are some advanced tips and tricks that can help us elevate our elemental game?
Well, I won't have too many because obviously I'm not playing an elemental shaman on a regular basis.
Right.
But one of the things that's quite useful is getting a decent beak or a setter. And I know we were talking about this before the show, but what we've done on Earth Shrine with some other guys who are pretty good at coding weak chorus is set up a predictor bar for Maelstrom. And this is actually based off Sios's work for Moonkin. So the idea is that if you're casting Lightning Bolt, you're going to get at least 8 Maelstrom when the cast finishes. So the bar shows that and says, right, here's your current Maelstrom, and we give you 8 extra so you know what you're going to be at the end of this cast. So that way you can see, right, okay, I'm at 80. I'm casting Lightning Bolt, so I'm going to be at 88 at least after this cast. I better press Earth Shock next.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And knowing that's going to happen is quite useful. Overloads themselves will also give extra Maelstrom, which is about 75% of the original cast, but there is a slight delay on the overloads actually happening, which is about 400 milliseconds. So when you finish your cast and it generates the maelstrom, you can press Earthshock to use it and then get the extra maelstrom from your overload. So it's a good way to avoid capping out and wasting potential damage there. The other thing I've found useful lately has been the at cursor macro for earthquake placement. Because previously it was, you have to press the button and then click somewhere to place it.
Oh, yeah,
whereas now, with that macro, you have your cursor somewhere, you press the button, and it's placed automatically. So you're basically saving a mouse click. But during AoE, that's quite important.
No, that's
pretty cool. I completely forgot about that, because I think the only place I ever used that was on my Death Knight with Death and Decay.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go through and set up a few extra macros and various other places for that, but it's quite useful.
Oh, totally. I need to.
Awesome.
Yeah. Nice.
But the only other thing I would recommend is doing things like macroing Ascendance into a Lava Burst cast. So you press your cooldown, but at the same time you're also casting the ability that the cooldown will free up for you, just to save an extra GCD in there. But the rest of it is basically just know your fights, know where you need to stand, mm-hmm. and be aware of when you need to move, because the more you move, the less time you're going to have to use your big damage abilities for DPS.
So there's no Spirit Walker's Grace for Elemental anymore, is there?
No.
That's too bad.
All right. Well, we have some questions here. I know
we had a bumper for those at one point, but I don't...
I don't think we have it anymore. If it is, it's long since lost. Maybe we'll have to...
Yeah.
We'll have to make one. All right. Well, Water Malone here says, is it worth re-rolling as Enhance?
Again, that's one of those popular questions. Which spec should I go? Which does the most DPS? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, it doesn't really matter. It comes down to what you've invested most with your artifact. So if you've got 54 points in Elemental and 5 points in Enhancement, Elemental is going to be better, obviously. If you have really good DPS legendaries for Elemental, but really crappy ones for Enhancement, again, Elemental's going to be better. There may be certain situations where Elemental works better for a fight than Enhancement does, but it's always going to come down to the fact that switching from ranged to melee or back again is a bit of a mindset change, because ranged DPS, I've found, is always find where you can stand still, do lots of DPS while you're standing still, and try not to move.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for melee, it's basically making sure you're not standing in front of the boss to get damaged by stuff that happens, move out of things. You can keep DPSing while you're moving around and stuff like that. So it's a different movement phase or a movement behavior to ranged. So some people will be better suited to one than the other. And it's easier to switch from Elemental to a Mage than mm-hmm. it is to switch from Elemental right. to Enhancement or reverse.
Yeah, I'm noticing. I've been primarily tanking for years and mostly melee outside of that, and I've noticed a lot just trying to play some caster stuff. Like it's just a completely different mind frame, and even if you are a good player and good at the game, it's just like it's a whole new thing when you have to move every few seconds or find a place that you know in advance that you can move to, and it's just like a little bit of a different thinking approach, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing to add on to all of this is if you're really worried about re-rolling to the best spec, Shaman generally have not been the flavor of the month spec in any expansion ever. Mm-hmm. So if you really, 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 really want to super optimize your DPS, then you're not playing the right spec as Shaman.
There you go.
Yeah, I also want to add to that Enhancement is horrible, this expansion. It might do okay DPS, but since vanilla, when I wasn't healing, I was specced as Enhancement for out in the world, and I can't play it this expansion. It just feels bad. It feels clunky and horrible, which is why I'm doing Elemental now for like the first time ever. So anyway, what's my 2 cents on that?
Yeah, it's one of those things where sometimes you're just so used to how a spec has been designed that when it gets changed just enough to make it feel weird, it's no longer comfortable for you.
So weird.
Like I made the decision midway through beta that I was going to change from Elemental to a Mage. And I've always preferred Arcane rather than the more popular Fire. And that's because of how Fire plays. It's like, I don't like the proc-y nature of Fire, whereas the more planning, strategic Arcane is more my style of thing. Mm-hmm. And again, you've got to take that into consideration. Is it better to be playing the quote-unquote highest DPS spec you can, or is it worth playing a spec that you're more comfortable with, which you may actually end up doing more DPS anyway because of that comfort and familiarity?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah. And, oh, if you're having a better time, you're probably going to do better.
Yeah, and unless you're in one of those top 100 guilds racing for world first, the stuff doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
Mike Muscles Murphy, he asked a couple of questions, and I believe one of them was kind of the whole Ascendance versus Ice Fury thing, and I think you kind of covered that. Nick Sender asked about that as well too, but and I don't think we need to really get back into that. But he says, are you screwed for higher level content if you never get the ring, belt, or helm? And I'm assuming those are legendary pieces that kind of make or break the playstyle or the spec, I guess.
The ring is Twisting Nether, which is a 2% damage bonus for each element school you cast. So if you're using fire, nature, and frost regularly, it's a 6% damage bonus.
Mm.
And it's one of those things where you might want to try and optimize the frost one, but there's actually no point because if you try and optimize for it, you end up wasting time elsewhere and losing damage. The helm is the new one from 7.1.5, which increases the duration of heroism or bloodlust by 75%.
Oh, nice.
Which again, it's really useful unless you're one of these guilds that insists on lusting after 30% health is reached, and you're not going to use it all by the time the boss dies. The belt, however, is one of those interesting little ones. It's the dot that stacks up to 5 that gets applied whenever you cast Lava Burst. And again, that's one of those things where you would think you want to try and optimize it to make sure you keep a 5-stack rolling throughout the fight. But again, anytime you delay Lava Burst, you end up losing damage because your Lava Burst count goes down. So they're all good legendaries to have. With some of the changes in the recent patch, you're not as much of a disadvantage if you don't have them. But again, the others are like either utility or some other form of buff that isn't as good as these. And it's the same argument about legendaries pretty much across the board, where people have said, if you don't have the optimal legendaries, you don't perform as well. And that's true. And that's a problem with the entire legendary acquiring process.
Yeah.
Which I could spend hours arguing about. Yeah. So I'm not going to.
I don't think we're going to argue at all. I think everybody basically feels the same way about it at this point.
Yossi Core, I think I pronounced that okay, says, what in your opinion needs to be done for Elemental to really be able to compete with top-notch DPS specs?
Well, in terms of pure numbers, you know, it's just tweak things up a little. In terms of actual mechanics and stuff, I think the shocks and all of these, you know, payoff abilities need to be rejigged so that it's more streamlined. Because I've had a couple of ideas in the past that I've blogged about. One has been to have fire and lightning as like two halves of the rotation. Mm-hmm. So you use flame shock to generate stuff to cast lava burst, and then you use lightning bolt to generate stuff to use earth shock. And they're kind of two independent things that don't generate the same resources, and you can kind of bounce back and forth. The other idea was actually dropping Earth Shock's primacy and the rotation to more of a thing you use while moving, because while moving, if you don't have something to cast, it just feels wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like fire mages can do it by using Scorch. Moonkin can spam Moonfire, but Elemental, you've got this horrible little thing to consider about: where is your Flame Shock dot super buffed? Do you want to leave it there, or do you want to replace it with the 19-second one because you're going to get an extra little amount of damage from that initial hit? So I would say Earth Shock needs to fill that space, and Lava Burst should end up being the spender rather than Earth Shock, just so it means that you're building resources and then you're spending resources in more of a meaningful way than, you know, just something extra on the side.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That makes
that
sense.
That way you can be a little bit more controlling about how you spend your resources. So you could go, well, if Lava Burst is like 30 Maelstrom and I can have up to 100, then I can save like 90 Maelstrom and then use 3 Lava Bursts in a row on this high priority target. Whereas at the moment, you're not doing anything like that because you don't have the luxury of delaying anything.
Well, it seems like it might synergize a little better with the artifact ability to the Stormkeeper thing. You know, like you can, you're not trying to decide, you know, where to fit something in. It's like you can decide according to your resource what you're going to do with that.
Yeah, I would actually prefer that Stormkeeper gets turned into a direct damage ability of its own rather than generating buffs, because every other spec that I've played, they all have a direct damage ability as their artifact ability. And aside from Destruction, which has these stupid little portal things, most of the others are, they feel meaningful and interact with stuff that you're doing. Like Arcane has Mark of Alunis, which is a 6-second dot that then explodes for 15% of your mana. And that's really good because you put that out, you use your damage bonuses, and then it deals a lot of damage to multiple targets. And I've seen like 4 million DPS on a stacked group with stuff like that before. And it feels awesome.
Well, yeah, jeez.
Balance has New Moon, which is this 3-charge thing which rotates between New Moon, Half, and Full, and you get resources, and it does lots of damage, and it's got a cool animation. But Stormkeeper, just raising your fist up and getting this little lightning animation and nothing else, just feels underwhelming.
Well, I know Affliction has their ability where you kind of buff yourself, and it's kind of like a timed buff, but it's not, you know, like exclusive to one ability. It's more like, you know, you can kind of keep this buff going, and it's a permanent thing allowing you to do more damage overall. Cinder's question is kind of the same thing that we've been talking about here, but I'm going to read it because I think she's looking for a little more information here. She says, really looking forward to your Ellie show with Binkenstein, given I'm back to playing Ellie as my off-spec, better gear synergy with Resto. I have some questions. First, the Ice Fury build, is the Ice Fury build the best options for high movement fights, or are there other options? I'm finding myself having to run around like a mad goose in so many fights in Nighthold that Ascendance isn't getting its full duration. I've taken to using Lightning Rod. I'd love to hear a little more about the Ice Fury build rotation, which you talked about. But she says here, I've tried and failed miserably. Is there any way that I can wean myself into it, or are there special tips? So I know we talked about mainly Ascendance or not even Lightning Rod as your option. So it's going to be Ice Fury or Ascendance, and Ascendance is there any tricks, do you think, to getting the full benefit out of that, or? I mean, you don't have the Spirit Walker's Grace anymore, so it's a little hard at times.
Yeah, Ice Fury basically comes down to knowing when those movement phases are, so you can use it just before and then use your 4 Frost Shocks as you're moving. So if someone's having problems with Ice Fury, I would generally say don't use it. It might be slightly higher DPS in simulations, but again, it's got a higher skill requirement, and for some people that may just be a little bit too much. On the other hand, Ascendance, that is again knowing when you need to move and making sure that you've got 15 to 20 seconds of not moving so you can use it. And I think that's one skill that most people need to learn as a ranged DPS. So it's probably not really answering the question in a way that they would like, but that's about the best way I can describe it.
No, that was perfect, because I don't even think that lightning rod is really on the table at this point, huh?
Well, it's a decent talent. It's more useful for Mythic Plus because of how it works with Chain Lightning and just having Yes, it does work with Chain Lightning. I just had to double check because, you know, I haven't used it, like, ever. it was a lot better in beta when it was a cooldown ability that you could use rather than just a random proc that happens. Because to properly use it in, like, cleave situations, you need to be waiting for the buff to occur, the debuff to occur, and then switch off to another target to DPS that instead. So you've got your lightning bolts duplicating over to the first target. So in AoE situations, you're just basically chain lightning spamming until your current target has it, then you go off to another one and repeat. But in raids, that's not really so much of an issue because AoE situations are less frequent and are probably not that important. Which, again, is coming back to the whole elemental thing in Hellfire, where elemental's niche was multi-target damage. And outside of Hellfire Assault, there wasn't too much of a requirement for it, so it wasn't really that exciting as a spec to play.
Great. All right. Rob, do you have any more questions?
No, man, it's good. I mean, it's a little, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a bummer to hear that it's like, it's a lot of work and it's not in the best place. But at the end of the day, it's a fun spec. It's a really cool looking spec. And I guess it kind of will pay off. Like if you put in the time, if you learn the ins and outs of it, it does do well. We know, you know, Justin on our, on our team do puts up incredible numbers, and he's definitely a min-maxer, and it shows that, you could do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's more important to make sure that you like the spec you're playing, because that gives you more motivation to do better. And I've probably put things in a slightly negative viewpoint because obviously I was an elemental player and now I'm not really, but it's still worth playing. If you like the rotation, if you like that sort of stuff, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just that for myself, I decided that I needed something different to, you know, renew my interest in the game. And Arcane Mages have done that.
Yeah, and I'm playing it. I'm enjoying it. This is the last 2 weeks here is the most I've played my Shaman since I hit 110 in the second week of Legion. So yeah, this was definitely informative, and hopefully it'll help me do a little better damage out there. And I might even change up my talents a little bit to some of those vile ones that I don't really care for. But anyways. Send us an email at the show at thetrainingdummies.com if you have anything to add to this topic or have questions about future topics. Or please feel free to leave us a voicemail, which you can do at our website, thetrainingdummies.com, or you can join our Discord server at discord.me/TTD.
It seems fate has brought us together.
You have my gratitude.
We make a great team.
I'm sure glad you're around.
Well, if it ain't my favorite person.
You have your uses, don't you?
You have quite a talent there.
Together, our victory is assured.
Good enough.
Rob, do you have any shout-outs?
Definitely the raid team. I was not there this week. I had just gotten back from my a work trip, and I just didn't make it back in time. So we had a couple of people, I believe Allie and Darnie, who tanked. And from what I understand, you guys had a great time and did some good things. Shout out to those two for tanking and holding things up. And I guess since I won't be tanking here shortly anyways, it's good to see that the shoes are being filled and you're making progress. And definitely to Binkenstein for coming on tonight. Like I said earlier, thank you so much for your time. It's really good to sit down and talk with somebody who knows so much about a spec and can kind of clear up things for us. Daryl, what do you got?
Yeah, I was good. Can't believe you mentioned both of them. both. But yeah, definitely.
You
yeah.
let me go first. I'm going to take all the low hanging fruit, you know?
Yeah, well, but you weren't there. Anyway, yeah, big shout outs to Allie and Darnie for stepping up and tanking this week. Allie is moving into a full time tank role with our team, but Darnie was able to fill in as well. So that was great. And yeah, the rest of the team, we did well. We did a quick clear of Nighthold just to help gear out Allie before we, or not, sorry, a quick clear of Emerald Nightmare just to help gear Allie up since she's just recently hit 110, I think maybe a week ago. And then, we were able to go in and do some damage in Nighthold as well after that. So it was good. It was good. And of course, Bickenstein for coming on and teaching me what I'm doing wrong with Elemental, which is not as much as I thought I was. So it shouldn't be too much for me to pick up my game a bit. But a big thank you, sir. Bink, do you have any shout outs this evening?
Just the one. There's a bunch of guys who are sort of taking the Elemental theory crafting further in my stead, who are actually still playing the spec. And they've put together a little website called stormearthandlava.com. So I'll get you guys to include the link to that in the show stuff. But it's basically all about Elemental. They've got some charts in there for trinket comparisons. They've got various guides for actually, the Ascendance rotation or the Ice Fury rotation. And they're doing a lot of work and basically the stuff I used to do, but there's about six or seven of them so they can divvy up and not go completely crazy from it.
Nice. Well, before we wrap up this episode, where can people reach you if they have more questions about this topic or anything else?
I obviously run the Earth Shrine Discord, which is discord.me/Earthshrine. I'm of course on Twitter, just at Binkenstein. Just be aware, I don't generally respond to PMs on Discord because I'm quite busy, but I'll probably respond to tweets with either a link to something or a brief description of what you need to look at. But there's all sorts of people on the Earth Shrine Discord who can respond to all these questions without directly involving me.
Well, I believe that wraps up episode 155 of The Training Dummies. You can find this and past episodes of the show over on iTunes, Stitcher, or thetrainingdummies.com. And remember, we are all just jackasses with mics. So until next time...
It's advice you can trust.
Woo!
From people you shouldn't.